Good morning, and I want to greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and worship the Lord and welcome everybody here. I was really blessed and challenged in the service so far, and devotions, Jonas, thank you for that, and with Sunday school and the thoughts here before the message. I feel like they all go along fairly well with what I want to share this morning. And before I get into that, I wanted to mention, so a couple weeks ago, in opening, I had read some verses in Matthew, the parable about the father that asked his sons to go work in his vineyard, and one said he would go and did not. One said he wouldn't and ended up going. And I'd asked for some feedback on how we sometimes might do that, where our lives and our talk don't match up. And I have one person respond, so. I'd like a little more than that. But for the message this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And recently, I was having a conversation with a man. And it was an interesting conversation. We were talking about different things. And he was not an Anabaptist. He had a lot of beliefs like we would believe. I feel like he was a Christian man. And we were talking about different things. And he made a comment to me. And he said he does relate a fair bit with Anabaptist groups and some people, Anabaptist people, and he said this. He says when he looks at the Anabaptist church, he sees two things that he feels like are distracting them from their call from God. And he said those two things he felt like were materialism and politics. And I don't think he was at all trying to be judgmental or critical, or it was just an observation he made. And, what was I supposed to say? I'm afraid sometimes he's right. But at the same time, I had that conversation with him over that time. I was reading a book, and the title of the book was Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, and I'm not going to necessarily promote him or all his books, but he has some very interesting writings, some very thought-provoking things. And the story, it was a fictional story basically based on true happenings, but things were changed up because of privacy issues and so forth. And it was pretty much fictional, but a very interesting book. And in that book, there was two men, and they had gone to college together here in America. One was an American and one was a Chinese man. And they'd gone to college together. They both gave their hearts to the Lord. And they had separated, the American to stay in America, the Chinese man went back to China. And his dream there was to become a professor and write books. And so for years, they hadn't seen each other or talked to each other. And long story short, there was an opportunity for them to get back together and to visit each other again. And things had changed significantly in their lives. The American was now a VIP in a international business, making lots of money. He was a very important man. And the Chinese man had gone home with the goal of being a professor in a Chinese school, only to find out that because he had become a Christian, no school in China would take him. And he was forced to a lowly job, barely made enough living to money to survive and feed his wife and one son. And he was living in poverty and persecution for his faith in Jesus. Anyway, these two men met up again. And the Chinese man, at one point, it was very obvious to him and to both of them that things were very different than what they had known when they were in college. And the Chinese man, he asked this American businessman, he said, "What has changed?" He said, "You're different than what you were." And he's like, what are your goals today? What goals do you have in life? And so the American proceeded to tell him his goals. And his goals were basically he wanted to be CEO or president of this company by the time he was 45. He wanted to have a certain amount of funds in retirement. It was all goals of money and fame and wealth. And this Chinese man that had nothing looked at him and he said, your goals are too low. He said, you're aiming too low. And I had to think about that. And I had to look into my own heart. And I wonder, what are my goals? What am I pressing for? And my mind went to a verse here in Philippians 3. And I'm not going to preach on materialism or politics this morning, but I would like to read Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I would venture to say that every one of us this morning has a goal. We have a mark that we're pressing towards. The question is, what is that goal? What are we pressing towards? So I've titled the message this morning, The High Calling of God in Christ Jesus. The High Calling of God. This morning, what are we pressing for? Are we pressing for that high calling of God? Or are we pressing for lower things? Things of this life? Things of ourself? You know, we live in a time, I think, that Western Christianity is doing everything they can to lower that call of God. They're trying to bring it down to their standards. They want to be able to live the way they want to and still feel like they're reaching the call of God. And that's not going to work. And I'm not here this morning to try to preach and raise those standards. I'm not doing that. God has the standards already set, and nobody's going to change them. And this verse says that it's high. It's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Nobody's going to change that. Any attempt of man to bring that standard down is simply going to mean that they're going to fall short of reaching that goal. They're not going to get there. God set the standard high. And in fact, this verse says that we're going to have to continually press on to be able to reach that goal. It's not something that's going to happen easily. And even Paul in verse 12 says that he's not already attained. Paul that had suffered much and gained a lot in his walk with God was saying that he's not attained to the goal of the high calling of God yet. It's something he's pressing on. He's forgetting the things that are behind him and he's pressing forward. I very much believe this morning that we have an enemy that's trying to convince us with the lie that the high call of God can be lowered to meet our standards. And I can assure you that won't happen. It's not going to. God has the standard set. And the question is for us is if are we going to make that standard? Are we going to reach the high calling of God? So what is the high call of God? I have four things here this morning I'd like to look at. Four things that the high calling of God will call us to. And I feel like they're honestly barely going to scratch the surface. This is a subject that we could go on for hours and hours if we took it to all the things that play into this and the things that God's call is going to lead us to and take us to. But I have four things I want to look at. And the first thing is in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 29. I'm going to read through verse 31. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or and man's device, And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So the first important thing I think that the high call of God will call us to is repentance. God is not a God of stone or wood or gold or anything that man has made, like this verse says. He's the God that created the heavens and the earth. He's the God that created us. He's the God that sent his only Son to die on the cross and provide a way that we can be free from our sins, that we can have our sins washed away. And God is now commanding that every man everywhere repent. All men. Repentance is something that all of us must do. It doesn't matter who we are, what family we might be a part of, or what church we go to. Everyone must repent. It's not even just a suggestion or a good idea. It's a command from God. It's something that all of us must do. And why is repentance so important? Because in Romans 3:23 it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us this morning have sinned. And that sin separates us from God. And like this verse just says, it's going to cause us to come short of the high calling of God. Our sin will separate us and cause us to fall short of God's high calling. And the only way to overcome that is to fall in repentance before God and claim the cleansing and washing blood of Jesus to take those sins away. In verse 31 it says, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness." There's coming a day when God's going to deal with sin. And if we haven't repented of it, we're going to face that judgment. You know, this morning I think true repentance is going to produce sorrow for our sins. Sometimes I see people that repent and repent and repent, and I wonder, what's wrong? It don't seem like they ever really are sorry, or they don't really get beyond. If we're truly repentant this morning, it's going to bring a sorrow to our hearts. We're going to be truly sorry for our sins. All our excuses, all our blaming of circumstances or other people is going to be gone. True repentance is going to bring death to self and death to sin, like Ernie just read about there in the opening, that verse. It's going to be death to sin. We're going to need to die to sin this morning to reach that high calling of God. Part of this, like we mentioned, this thing of repenting is going to be death to ourself. Romans 6 verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." This morning, the high calling of God leaves no room for me or self. That old man is going to be crucified. It has to be crucified. My wants and wishes, my desires, my goals now need to be what God desires and what God's goals are for me. The lust of the flesh, the things that I desire, the things that I crave after have to go. There is no room for that when I've truly repented. Even the desire I have to control my own life must go, and I need to be surrendered to the will of God. You know, death to self is really where the rubber hits the road this morning. It's not easy. You know, I had to think about self is kind of like a jack-in-the-box. Any of you remember those toys? There'd be a little box, and you crank the crank, and up would come Jack. He'd pop out, you push him down, and crank it again, and pretty soon he'd be back up. And that's what self is. As long as we're going on through life, self is going to continually be popping up, and we're going to have to push it back down with God's help. And you know, there was always that one spot in that crank where the lid wouldn't latch, and you'd see a little child, and they'd be trying to push that jack down, and as soon as they'd let go, it'd pop back up. And sometimes that's what it is for us too. It just seems like we can't even turn around, and ourself wants to come back up. You know, as long as we live here in the flesh, we're going to have to keep crucifying the flesh. We're going to have to keep pushing ourselves down with God's power. You know, because we're human, we do fail. Self will pop its ugly head back up. But repentance is going to bring us in sorrow to the feet of Jesus, asking for His cleansing and forgiveness and His power to keep living above sin, to keep self where it belongs. True repentance this morning is not going to live in defeat. If we're truly repentant, it's going to drive us to the place where we want and we need God's power, and we claim God's power to have victory over sin. So part of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus this morning, where it starts, is repentance and death to ourselves. The second thing I have is that the high calling of God is going to call us to life in Christ Jesus. And Ernie, you just read that verse. Are you alive this morning? If you're going to be alive, we're going to have to be dead to sin. But the Christian life, the high calling of God, isn't a life of death. It's a life of being fully alive, being alive in Jesus. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Romans 6:4-5, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." The call of God this morning, yes, it calls us to death to self, and it calls us to repentance, but it calls us beyond that. It calls us to rise again, to life in Christ. We must be alive in Christ if we're going to reach the high calling of God. If we're going to focus on our flesh and on the dying that we need to do to ourselves, if that pain is going to be our complete focus, we're going to come short of the high calling of God. We must be raised again with Jesus to newness of life. Paul says, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, those things that took me down, the sins that I've had. I'm forgetting those things, and I'm pressing forward. I've got a mark, and that mark and that prize is the high calling of God. That's where I'm headed. Friends, this morning, living for self and sin is a life of death. But life in Christ is more abundant than anything this world has to offer. And life in Christ is going to be in stark contrast to a life lived in sin and for self. It's going to be obvious to those around us when we've passed from life unto death. We're not going to be able to hide it. And we don't want to hide it. We shouldn't want to hide it. You know, there's going to be joy that comes from a life lived in Christ, from having our sins behind us. It's going to produce joy that's going to well up in us and spill out. We're not going to be able to keep it in. Yeah, there's going to be sacrifices and hard times that come through our decision to follow God and to live life in Christ. But when we made that choice and we have find our life in Christ, the source of our joy doesn't come from the world and the circumstances around us. It's coming from within us. It's coming from the true source of all joy. It'll be Jesus Christ. Life in Him produces that. It must. You know, that's something I really couldn't do better in. Something I was convicted about in studying this, is finding the joy of life from the life that's within me and not from the life around me. If we're going to have Jesus Christ in our heart this morning, there's going to be joy in our hearts. Another thing this life in Christ is going to do is going to bring a burden to us for those around us that are not experiencing this life. We're going to have a burden for those that are living in death, those that are living in sin. We're going to be burdened for those whose opportunities are slipping past. None of us know when our time will be over. If you and I have Christ in our hearts this morning, if we have life in Him, we're going to have a passion and a burden for those that aren't ready. And we're going to do something about it. We're going to be telling them. Our lives are going to be telling them. Another thing a life in Christ is going to do for us this morning, it's going to produce gratitude and thankfulness for the one who gave us this life. Not just joy, but there's going to be gratitude. There's going to be thankfulness that well up out of our hearts for Jesus and what He's done for us. This life in Christ is where we actually find the power to live in victory over death and sin. It's in Christ that power comes to us. It's in our life in Christ where we get a glimpse of the greatness and holiness of God, and where we come face to face with our own ability to live in holiness. It's in our life in Christ that we find true sorrow for our sins, and a horror of what our lives will become without God and without Christ in our hearts. It's where we find our continual need of Him and His cleansing blood. Friends, this morning, the high calling of God is calling us to life in Christ. It's calling us to live a life for Him. A life of joy and happiness in service for Him. And that can be found, that joy and that peace can be found even when the world around us seems like it's falling apart. Because like we said before, that joy comes from the power and the life within us. The third thing I have in our call, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, this call is going to call us to service in the kingdom of God. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know, the high calling of God requires us to give everything we have in service to God. That verse says it's with all our heart, soul, and mind. That's everything. There's nothing going to be held back for me. You know, Jesus gave everything for me. He came down from heaven. He gave His life. He shed His blood. And He deserves nothing less from us in return. My time, my talents, my money, my possessions, even my dreams. And for some, even their very life. God wants everything. We need to give everything to God in service for in His kingdom. You know, and like we had mentioned before, in this high call of God, in service for His kingdom, there's going to be no room for self left. We're not going to be able to say that, yes, God, You can have my time, my talents, my possessions, my dreams, but I need my money. Or, You can have my money, but I want my time. Can't do that. God wants it all. I know this is hard. But remember, I said at the beginning, I'm not here to raise the standard. This is the standard that God has set. This is what God is asking. The high call of God requires us to surrender everything to Him. And then the second great command in that same chapter there, it says, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The high call of God calls us to service to our fellow men. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. And it's hard to give our all to God. It's hard to give him everything, but we do know that he deserves it. But what about to our fellow men? Because they don't deserve it. Not always. Do I really have to give my all? Do I really have to give my life and service for the men or for mankind around me when they don't deserve it? But you know, let me ask you, did you deserve what Jesus did for you this morning when he came and died for you? Absolutely not. In fact, we deserve that less than what our brothers and mankind deserve, our love and our help. You know, the practical outworking of giving our all to God and building his kingdom is often done in love and service to our fellow men, even when they don't deserve it. In fact, it's such a part of God's high calling that he says that it's how we know that we pass from death unto life. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, it's not something that our natural man just finds easy to do. It takes a committed Christian, one that is committed to God, sold out for him, to truly love our fellow men and give our lives in service for them. You know, it's pretty easy to say all kinds of great things about God and all he's done for us, and you know, we can talk quite well, but it takes someone truly surrendered to Jesus to give our lives in service for our brethren. And that could be a whole subject all of its own. We could go into all kinds of areas and how we can and how we should do that. I'm not going to go into that necessarily this morning, but the high call of God is going to call us in service in his kingdom. First by giving our all to him and surrendering to him, and then in service to our fellow men. It's part of God's call. The fourth thing I have about God's call this morning, the high call of God, is that it's an upward call. You know, the original Greek word for this high call, another meaning for that word is upward. And this morning, the call of God is an upward call. And I think, actually, this is what can give us the courage to go on. Because we can look at this high call of God and the standard he set for it, and it seems like we can't do that. And God doesn't expect us to arrive at perfect perfection all at once this morning. It's something we're aiming for, and we'll actually never really truly get there until we've made it all the way through to glory. Now that's not an excuse for laziness or to sin. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. But when I stop and think of my life, say 10 to 15 years ago, you know, I almost can start to wonder, was I even a Christian back then? I mean, like, I thought I was then, but now looking back, I had so many things that I needed to grow in. And, you know, while I feel like I'm closer to God today and I've grown closer to him, I'm probably even more aware today of my need to grow more into God and be like God than I was back then. And I think that's how that works. Our life cannot stay at one spot. We need to continue growing and climbing. We need to be growing more and more like Jesus. And the more like Jesus we become, and the closer to God we get, the more we're going to see our need and realize our need to grow and become more like him. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." The high call of God is an upward call, and it's going to require us to grow and climb. And life in Christ is only achieved by doing that. If we're content to stay where we're at this morning and just stay on an even plane with where we're at now, that's going to be a life of death. It's going to lead to death. If we're going to be sliding backwards, that's going to end in death. We need to be growing and crawling and climbing up. Yeah, there's going to be times when we slip and fall, but even then, we must get back up and continue climbing. You know, sometimes we see somebody in life, and it might even be a brother in church, whoever, and we look at them and we say, we just shake our heads. And we wonder where they're at in their walk with God. But remember that the call of God, the high calling of God, is an upward call. And we don't know exactly where everybody's at in that call. We all at different places. And now that's not saying that if we see our brother that is not growing, is not climbing, or is slipping back, then that realization also should take us to them in love and compassion and try to help them to climb again, to get back on the upward way. You know, this call, this upward climb is not going to end until we've made it all the way. And finally, it will take us into the very presence of God, face to face with Him and our Savior. And we can actually hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If we continue in God's upward call, that's where it will take us. It'll take us home. It'll take us to the place where we were created for. It's the place we long to reach. Let's not forget the call of God this morning is going to continually call us upward. We cannot stop climbing. And I know I feel like we've hardly even scratched the surface this morning of what God's high call looks like, what it includes. But you know, sometimes when we look at God's high call, it seems impossible. It seems unattainable. It seems like we cannot do it. Matthew 7:14 says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The call of God is high. It's going to be hard work. It's not going to be a path we can just wander down and someday find ourselves in heaven. This verse here actually says that the standard's so high that few are going to find it. Few are going to make it. That's a very sobering thought. But it should not be a reason to give up and not try. It should rather spur us on to be willing to do whatever it takes to reach the high call of God. Turn back with me to the Philippians 3 again. There's a key to being able to attain to the high call of God, and it's in these verses. There's three words in these verses that are the key to obtaining this high call. Somebody want to tell me what they are? Three words. Reaching forth. That's definitely a good part of it. Had another one in mind. The last three words in verse 14. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's only through Christ Jesus this morning that we can ever attain this high call of God. It's only through Him and His salvation and His power that we have any chance of making it. On our own, it isn't possible. And I know I've said these things before, But I believe it's absolutely important for us to understand, and so I'm going to say it again. It's only in Christ and only through the plan of salvation that we can make it. You know, I'm burdened sometimes by our the world that we live in and the prosperity that we have. And I feel like it's almost brought us to the point where we've lost touch with how much we really need Jesus. You know, the man in China that had nothing, everything was taken away from him. He had barely had enough to survive, understood 100% what it was to need Jesus. He woke up every morning wondering if this was going to be the day he would die for Jesus. And the rich man in America had so much, he even forgot that Jesus existed, basically. And so while I'm not going to necessarily argue with the man that I had a conversation with that materialism is one of the things distracting Western Christianity, I believe it is a threat, but I believe it only is adding to the real problem. And that problem is not fully understanding our need for Jesus. Yeah, we know how to talk it. We know how to say that we need Jesus. We need him in our life. We know that salvation is how we get saved from our sins. But do we really know and understand what it is to need Jesus every day, every minute? There's no way that you and I can actually do it without him. You know, even if I was able to live a perfect life and to meet these requirements for the call of God in my own, even if I could do that in my own strength, which of course I can't, but even if I could, without Jesus Christ, it wouldn't be good enough. Jesus is the only way that we have any hope of making it through. He's the only way that we have any chance of reaching that high call of God. Without Christ, it's impossible. You know, I had to think while I was studying for this message, I was thinking back and I had to think how, you know, the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, it was full of types and shadows of Jesus and the New Covenant. You know, even the all the rituals, the sacrifices they had, even the tabernacle, the clothes the priests wore, they were all a types and shadows of the new covenant, of salvation, of Jesus. Now here we are, we're on the other side of that new covenant of Jesus and his suffering and death and resurrection. We're on the other side. And now we are a type and a shadow of Jesus. Jesus Christ this morning is the real thing. His plan, the plan of salvation and what Jesus did for us is the real thing. The old covenant was a type and a shadow of Jesus. And we, friends, must be a type and shadow of Jesus. Even our lives and our salvation experience are types and shadows of Jesus and what he's done. You know, you think about it. Jesus suffered and died, and so we too must suffer and die. Our flesh must suffer and die. Jesus rose again, and so we too must rise again through the cleansing power of his blood to a new life in Christ. Jesus ascended back to heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God, and so our lives must be an upward climb, always ascending, ever drawing closer to God, ever trying to be more like Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? This morning, our lives, our salvation experience, this high call that we're reaching for is a type and a shadow of Jesus himself. It needs to be. We need to be pressing toward that goal. You know, if our goals this morning are goals of life, of material things, making money, of becoming famous, whatever it might be popular. Friends, our goals, the mark we're pressing for, are too low. We're aiming too low if that's where we're at. God calls us way beyond those things. He He calls us to higher goals, goals and aspirations of dying to ourself. And that sounds totally contradictory. But he calls us to goals of a life in Christ, life lived in service for him, and a life lived continually drawing near and growing and endeavoring to become more like Jesus, to be a better type, a better shadow of what Jesus is. Like I said before, the only way possible to reach those goals is through Christ Jesus. Is to find power and strength in him to live the high calling of God. And friends, this morning I want to assure us, if we do that, if we find our strength in Christ, if we live for him, if we reach that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it's going to pay dividends in the life to come. It's going to be amazing. The things of this life here are going to end soon. It's only our goals in Christ that are going to last. So that's the challenge I would like to leave with us this morning. What is the mark that I'm pressing toward? Am I pressing toward the mark or the prize of things of this life? Or am I pressing for the high calling of God? The calling that's going to take me home eventually to be with him. Let's kneel for prayer.